Visit us online at www.thehype873.com.
What's going on? It is your girl, Tampa Mystic, and we are live right here on The Hype 87.3. Look, we didn't want to keep you guys waiting any longer. Trippy Gusto and I was just having a great conversation before we went live. We were talking about family and stuff. So listen, thank you so much for checking in tonight. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Trippy Gusto, out the 616 Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm here, ready to conversate.
Listen, I know that's right. Well, again, I appreciate you. You know, we was having a great family type conversation before we went live, and that's what it's all about, is just having those good conversations. So let's just dive right into it. Is Grand Rapids your home from birth?
Yes, ma'am. Yep. Born and raised in Grand Rapids. Yep.
Tell us about it. You know, growing up in Grand Rapids, take us back to your childhood. What are some of your fondest memories there?
You know, it's a pretty small city. You know, it's a shadow of the Detroit, Michigan. So it's kind of like the baby of Detroit. But just growing up here, it was pretty cool. You know, it's kind of like anywhere else. You got some good parts, some bad parts. You know, just grew up in the inner city.
Yeah.
I had my mom and my dad with me for the most part. You know, so they just split up a couple of times and we were together. But, you know, I was the youngest out of three sisters, three brothers. I'm the youngest, so.
You're the baby.
Yeah, I had a pretty big family. Yeah, yeah, I had a pretty big family, too. So, you know, it was pretty cool. Like, you know, like I said, your good parts, your bad parts. You know, the city is kind of, like I said, it's pretty small, but then again, it's big because it's the second biggest city in Michigan.
Understood.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
For the most part, I went to public schools. You know, it was different, you know, going through my school because I was going to different schools.
Yeah.
But once I got in high school, I pretty much went to Creston High School. They closed it down. They turned it into a place called City, which is one of the top schools in the nation. So that was pretty cool to know that was, you know, something, you know, academically, that's, you know, a big school.
Yeah, most definitely. Absolutely. It sounds like it's a great city. I've not had the opportunity or the pleasure to visit there, but it definitely sounds like you had a great, great upbringing there. You know, you had a lot of siblings, which is a beautiful thing. I'm loving that. What were you into as a child? Was sports an interest for you, or has it always been music?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I started off playing basketball. You know, that's what my mom had me in, my pops. I was playing basketball, football. I did it like when I was younger, I did a little bit of karate, like boxing and stuff, but that wasn't long. But like pretty much all through grade school, it was basketball, football.
Okay, so
and then
a hooper. Like,
pretty much, yeah, for sure. Like I wrote my first song when I was in, I think, eighth grade. I got an after school program. Like we just do it like some type of arts thing. So I wrote my first song there. So I always played around with music. Like my father was a pastor, and just being in the church with music, I used to always try to play the drums, and I actually played a saxophone too in high school. So I had, like, you know, the musical background. So it was just, and I did poetry once I graduated and went to college. So it was just, I was kind of like a ghostwriter for some people, and then it just was like, I don't know, it just fell into my lap.
Yeah.
Like senior year, once I was getting ready to graduate, and that's when music was just like, boom.
Really took off for you. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I started taking it more serious.
Yeah, exactly. I think once you get out of school and you have some more time to actually dedicate it to it, then you can become more serious about it. Because, you know, in school, you got to focus, keep them grades up, you know, and being that you were involved in church, your dad's a pastor, was gospel ever an interest for you?
Yeah, it was. I mean, a couple of times when my father, he would challenge me to like write a little gospel song and stuff for him.
Yeah.
A certain little holidays or little events you have. I never really took him up on an offer. I wish I had of, but I never really dove into it. Like, I tried it, but I don't know. I just, like, I never really made my own gospel music.
Understood.
I mean, that's something that can be, you know, be something in the future that I can look forward to, because
absolutely,
I do feel like the you got to evolve with music as you
absolutely
time goes.
You can still fulfill that. You know, that's one of the things that you and I were talking a little bit about before we came live is, you know, we were, you know, talking about family and you, you know, so graciously shared with me that you fairly recently lost your father. And gosh, that's the hardest thing in the world is losing a parent or a sibling, you know, because those are like that's our first family right there. And you could still fulfill that, you know, he's with you every step of the way, you know, not in physical form, but spiritually. So you can still fulfill that, you know, like you said, maybe later on down the road when it feels right for you, when it's not forced and it feels right.
And that's what I want to do. I want it to, you know, all come together organically and just because that's when I make my best music and that's when I write, you know,
yeah.
The best is when I don't even think it just comes to me. Like,
there you go.
I can't even explain it.
Absolutely. And people feel that. They sense that because they resonate with it more when it's organic because they can relate to it. Being that you fairly recently lost your father, and again, you know, my condolences on that. Have you written a song for him?
Yeah, yep. It's called Letter to Pops. Mm. I'm going to be releasing it on my EP that I got. I'm going to probably drop it in summertime. I don't got a set date, but it's going to be called Lost That Sea EP. It's nothing too, you know, too much. Just a couple, about 5-6 tracks on there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I wrote the song. I wrote, like, part of the song, really. It's crazy because I started writing it almost a year ago, you know, and I just put certain lyrics and certain bars in there. And then, you know, once my father passed, it was just like, wow. It was like some of those lyrics was like, I had wrote them damn near a year before, and it was like, you would have thought I would have wrote it like then, you know?
Wow.
So it was just like, man.
Very heartfelt. Probably the most personal record that you ever wrote.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, most definitely. That I never dedicated a song to nobody, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely no one who passed. And that's my father, you know, with me every step of the way.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a cut that hit deep. It's still deep.
Yeah. So,
and I know it's a lot of people in my family that's still hurt by it. So hopefully once they see it and stuff, it can kind of, you know, sometimes everybody need that go-to record.
Absolutely.
Or just that go-to music they can put on.
100%.
Well, that's what I'm hoping to try to bring.
Especially with a record like that being so, so personal, there's going to be so many people who's going to relate because a lot of us have lost a parent or a sibling. And like you said, like, you know, it's difficult and time goes on and it may get a little easier, but it never, never goes away. So I can't wait to hear the song. I'll probably cry. I'm super emotional.
So, yeah, that's how I was when I started writing more and more. It was just hard. I'm just like, man, do I really want to do it? Because, you know, like, I guess, like you said, it's personal. So sometimes I write so many songs and so much stuff that I don't even put out. I just scrap it because, you know, I'd be like, should I say that? Or, you know, this little stuff like, man, I don't, it's hard to explain it, but it's just like, I don't want to mess it up or I don't want to, you know?
Yeah. And
so I just want it to be perfect kind of in a way, but it can't be perfect, but
as close to perfect as possible. But, you know, sometimes you can probably just write songs that are just for you. It's not intended for the world to hear. It's intended for you to get those emotions and those feelings off your chest, out of your heart, you know, that we carry around, because carrying around that stuff can cause anxiety in our life. And we have to find an outlet, and music is that outlet for you.
Definitely, you know, because I caught myself doing that for, you know, recently, these past couple months, just writing so much. And then I'm just like, man, what I'm doing with all this stuff? Like, and then I'm just keeping them in my notes, and it's kind of like me just getting it off my chest, like you said, and just being to myself.
Absolutely.
And in a way, you know, that I can relate to.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. If it doesn't make it out to the world, that's okay. It's your personal song for yourself, how you were feeling in that moment, and you were able to release those emotions, because we can't bottle them up. You know, sometimes we try to keep it in, but we have to let it go. We have to let those emotions flow. And you're doing it through your music.
Yep. what I try to do.
Yeah. So I know you said after high school is like when you really started taking it seriously. Do you think that's because you had a little bit more time now that you're out of school to actually dedicate to your music?
Yeah, pretty much. That was it. And then a lot of my friends and stuff that I was hanging out with, we all was doing music. So it was kind of like we were just in the studio pretty much 24/7. Like, early teen.
Yeah.
Early, like, just rapping. You know, just trying to find a spark, trying to find a momentum. And it started off, like, we was coming up in that era where, like you know, Chief Keef and them was all blowing up and stuff. So it was like, boom, right there, smack. Like, it was just like we seen a lot of this stuff that's happening now. It was just like, it's crazy how, like, we've been doing this, been seeing it, it's still going on. Like, a lot of us was ahead of our time and we didn't even realize it. We didn't even know it.
Right.
You know? Because Grand Rapids is like, I don't know, it's in the middle of, like I said, it's not, you know, like an hour away from Detroit, maybe an hour and a half from Flint. If that, and my father's actually from Flint, you know, and like 3.5 hours from Chicago. So we like real heavily influenced music with those cities. So you will hear that a lot.
Absolutely.
And like Grand Rapids got a lot of talented artists, and they, a lot of them come to Atlanta too. You know, we network, we mess with Atlanta real heavy. So I'm surprised you haven't heard of it, honestly.
Got to put me on game.
Yeah, definitely. I got to put 216, man. You got to tap in because you got some good artists here, too.
Definitely. Absolutely. When's the last time you was out here in Atlanta?
It's been some years, honestly. And I think when I went through, I was just like passing through on a flight. I don't really remember me just, you know, coming to Atlanta and just vibing. That's what I really want to. That's my goal.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to put that on your list of things that you want to get done.
Yeah.
You know? Definitely. I'm going to
actually, I had a show there. It was someplace we were supposed to be going down there to perform at. And it was like around, I'm going to say COVID time.
Mm.
And then they ended up canceling it.
Everything and, got shut down here. I had to cancel one of my shows because I do shows once a quarter. Me and my business partner, OG Bigger Rankin, he and I, do events, and yeah, we had to cancel ours too. Everything was shut down in that time.
yeah. So, and that was going to be a big one. So, I was heartbroken. And that kind of like, you know, I was just like, after that, I kind of was like, man, forget rap, you know?
Yeah.
But that kind of made me a little angry, canceling all the shows. And just, that was supposed to be a big break going down there, and that happened. I was just,
you know, when situations like that happen, what I always tell myself is God intervened for a reason. That's how I hang on to the faith and keep that light at the end of the tunnel, per se, is God intervened for a reason. He didn't want you to come down here for a reason that particular time. You get what I'm saying? Like, you got to hang on to that. Yeah, you know, we have to look at it in that aspect of, hey, he said, no, not right now for a reason, but we're going to send you down there later, a little bit later on. So, you know, again, that's something you can put on your list of things that you want to make sure you get done. And definitely. Because there's so much to do out here. I'm sure there is in your city as well. But, you know, Atlanta's like that Mecca, and there's always events and, you know, radio interviews and, you know, different types of great podcasts. There's so much to do for artists out here. It's definitely a city. So I would love to have you come out here at some point in time, and we can maybe even set up like a media run where you touch a few of the different spots out here that would, to, you know, make it worth your while coming out here.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Because, you know, it's funny that you said everything happens for a reason, because, you know, honestly, I had we could have signed, me and some homies that I was doing music with in the studio. We could have really signed a deal back in 2015.
Yeah.
And it was just like, some of our older guys that was around us, they was just letting us know. And some of the stuff wasn't sounding right, but long story short, we didn't end up signing it. It wasn't all in my hands, but I should have did this, we should have did this, but it was just like, maybe it wasn't my time to do that. It wasn't the right time. Like,
right.
I don't even think I was even, you know, grown as an artist who knows what I would even, if I would even been around, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we have to definitely hold on to is, you know, oftentimes we want it so bad, but it's not the right time. And that's okay, because everybody's journey is different and we can never compare our journey to anyone else. You know, it, God's got you on a path, your path, Trippy Gusto's path.
That's why I keep telling myself. Yeah. That's why I keep telling myself.
Like, definitely. Overall, what are you enjoying the most about being a music artist?
Really just the, making power, making people happy, and just making how some, like, I got some people, they come to me and they be like, man, you know, that song that you wrote, man, I get me through the day sometime, or it turned me up, or, you know, like you said, sometimes if it made people cry, or for like some, like people just be like, it get me through the day. Cause I got so much music out there. I'm so versatile.
Yeah.
I got so many different sounds out there. So I'll be forgetting sometimes when people are like, what you talking about? But then it's just kind of like that. And just, you know, like I said, just seeing a smile on people's faces, just cause it makes people feel good.
Yeah.
If you make certain records, certain feel good records, that's just good. So that's really just the whole creative part about it. Just everything kind of like, I'm just fascinated with everything.
It sounds like you're truly fulfilling your purpose through music. You know, like you said, making people happy or putting a smile on someone's face. You're fulfilling your purpose through music.
Hey, somehow, some way, I'm trying to do it. Just trying to perfect it and be as better as I can every day with it.
Yeah.
And just take it to the next level, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Being the best version of yourself.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. 100%. We can't be no one else. We don't want to be anyone else.
Oh, no. No, because if you ain't being yourself, then, you know, I don't know what you're doing.
Definitely. Absolutely.
That's what I try to tell a lot of people, man. Like, just you don't gotta like follow nobody other ways. Like, you let, it's not bad to show, you know, to tell people that, hey, I'm a fan of that, or I like that song, but you don't gotta, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the music crazy now because people is sounding so much alike.
Right. Absolutely.
I know it's hard.
Yeah. But the goal is when a record comes on, undeniably people are going to be like, oh, that's Trippy Gusto. They're going to know. You know what I'm saying? That's the goal.
Yep.
That is the goal. Like, you put that's a Lil Wayne record on, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that's Wayne. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has such a distinct sound. Yep. And that's the goal. And that's what you're working on. You have your own lane. You're not out here imitating no one else, trying to be like anybody else. You've got your own wave. Tell us about your movement. Is there an independent label situation or a movement that you're attached to or you are the CEO of?
No, I'm not currently signed. I'm doing everything by myself, you know what I'm saying? So I'm an unsigned artist. I don't got no budget, you know, like everything out of pocket. I do everything, so. If there's anybody out there that's trying to collaborate or, you know, do business, let me know. But I do videos. Everything comes out of my pocket. I do everything, you know. Yeah. And I got 070. That's like the brand.
Yeah.
That I've been running with for some years. So I got a couple, like a few artists that wraps up under that when they want to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they just see it's not really established yet. So they don't really, you know, people don't see no money or see you with other stars. This is like a popularity contest. They don't want to really put the grind in with you.
That's facts. That is facts. But
I try to rep 070. That's like the brand that I come up with.
Okay.
I committed it. You can call me the CEO, but like it's like a few other artists under it that I got songs with.
So make that your label, 070 Records. You sign yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, make that your movement and go hard with it. Sign yourself and, you know, make sure you're trademarking it, getting the business together. Then you can start working on getting them business loans. You know what I'm saying? Then you got a budget to put behind the label. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal,
that's
man.
That's basically what a record label is anyway. Record deal.
That's it. You know, that's it. OPM, other people's money.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Absolutely. So what are you currently working on right now? I know you have a record that we're going to check out here in a little bit. That's a single that's circulating around. It's called Checkmate. But are you focusing more on putting singles out, or are you at all in album or EP mode?
Right now I'm in EP mode. Like I got, I dropped a few years ago. I dropped this a series called Back from the Future Part 1 and 2.
Okay.
I dropped those a few years ago. You can check those out. I got some crazy joints on there. Like you said, I dropped Checkmate and I got another one out called Opex. That's going to be dropping the video. Actually, it's everything is out on DSPs or digital platforms. So, yeah. You know, if they want to stream it, they can stream it on those. But the video for Checkmate is out. And I will be getting a video for Opex done in about a month. So that visual will be out there.
Definitely. So we've got a lot of visual content to look forward to.
Pretty much. That's what I'm trying to do, you know. And like I said, I got the Lost at Sea, the EP, coming sometime soon. Summer. I got some joints on there with the Letter to Pop.
Yeah.
You know, so just working. We're trying to make it a big summer, you know, a big in and off right.
Definitely. Summertime's a great time to break records because people are outside.
Yeah, for sure. I got a lot of summertime music, too. So I'll be dropping a lot in, like, winter and stuff. I'll be like, I got to stop.
All the records that you put out, do you physically sit down and write them, or are you jotting them on your phone, or are you more of a freestyle and punch-in kind of guy? How does the creative process come together?
It just depends, you know. It depends on a beat. Like sometimes I have like certain dudes on Instagram, or some people email me or DM me if they can send me beat packages. They do that, or if I find a beat on YouTube, just chilling with the homies, you know, we throw some on. I'm like, hey, if I got a right to it, I probably throw something in my notes or something real quick. But like most of the time, you just catch a vibe at the studio and just, you know, do it like that.
Yeah,
pretty much. I highlight either the hook. I already had a hook going in my head because I always got lyrics in my head. So I can always just go into the booth and just start rapping, you know?
Right.
But I started off writing though. That's what I always revert back to sometimes. Yeah. Like, when I want to like take my time, I definitely write.
Yeah. I think it's important to still do it from time to time. Keep that pen game sharp.
Yeah. Cause nobody do it no more.
No, you're right.
Like, nobody writes.
Oh, I
they
know.
I guess it's cool. Like some dudes, they'd be like, they get offended if they try to say they rap. I'd be like, what?
Listen.
Because I know so many people that go into the booth, though, and they just say so much crazy crap. They'd be like, dude.
I know. And I really feel like not every artist, because I don't like the stereotype, but not a lot of these artists, you can tell they didn't write it. You could tell that they just kind of went into the studio and freestyled a little bit because the way the lyricism actually comes out. And I think it's important because I'll be honest, like I have a lot of artists that I interview and I'll ask them, do you write? And they've never written a record in their entire life. They've just get in a studio and freestyle. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I challenge them. Go write a record. See how it makes you feel. You know.
Well, I'm probably gonna let a little sauce off. But what a lot of people do, they punch in. You know. So when you in a you in a studio, you can just punch in. So it's kind of easier for you to. You know, it is easy. I'm not gonna lie. A little bit, and it's kind of a little better. But if you gotta have time to be in the studio, you know, and just cook up. You can't just be trying to rush in there trying to punch in a freestyle because the song's not going to make sense. It's not going to have no substance.
Right.
That's why dudes nowadays be talking about a whole bunch of random stuff in a song. I catch myself doing that sometime, and I'll be like, man, you know what? Let me take this bar out, or I just want to put the song out for time.
Yeah.
If I, like, you know?
Definitely. Do you have a setup at your house where you can record yourself, or are you always going to the studio?
Pretty much. That's what I'm doing, going to the studio. And that's one thing I regret is not really, like, having my own studio because I didn't bang so many studios got shut down or just people just like, I don't know, live recording or whatever. It's just that's been one of my biggest like main things out of everything is like the studio situation, man. Like I be going good with a studio, something that happened, guy, you know, move or you know, like cut like two studios shut down. One of the guys ended up selling the studio and moving. And then it's just, man, one of the guys' equipment got stole. It's just a lot of crap going on these years I've been rapping with studios.
Yeah, it can be a headache. Definitely, you know, I would say, you know, maybe start saving up for that a little bit, you know, and you can really honestly get you the setup that you need for less than $1,000 at your house. Like I tell artists all the time, go to the pawn shop. You can buy like the audio interfaces and a good mic, because sometimes people get hard up for money and they'll pawn these great pieces of equipment and you'll get it for like a fraction of the price and it's, you know, fully working, functioning. Just a thought, and not to mention it would save you a lot of money too, not having to pay for studio time and just send it out for a mix and master.
For sure, because I'm definitely going to look into that, man, because it's been a lot with that. And now, yeah, you're right now, because you could just send it out to mix and master. You don't have to do it right there.
Absolutely.
You can almost upload it to a website and then mix and master right, you know?
Yeah, I know a ton of engineers that's all they do. They don't record anybody. They only accept sessions to mix and master because they don't want to deal with the recording process of it. So there's definitely...
I understand that.
Let me ask you this. As an artist, and this could be from the people you know or people who think they know you, do you feel like you're understood as an artist?
No.
Let's talk.
I don't.
You don't? Talk to us about it. What makes you think that you're understood? Misunderstood, excuse me.
I just feel like they don't, like a lot of people, well, not even a lot of people, some people in my city and people in my family too, they don't understand how close I am, you know, how hard I've been going.
Yeah.
I've been going so hard for so long. I don't think they just be like, oh, he out there just rapping. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Now he out there finna possibly change our family lives, or just he out there doing something constructive with himself, like taking a chance on himself. Like,
yeah,
I just feel like they don't really. I don't know. It takes other people to for them to tap in. Yes. I know a lot of my cousins and stuff. They go, oh, I didn't even know you got certain people that they know that be in their groups watching my videos. They go, oh, that's my little cousin, or oh, that's my cousin. So I be like, man, how you not tap in? You family, so. I just feel like they don't understand, like, just the grind, pretty much.
Right.
I don't really respect.
Right. Absolutely. And I feel like that, too. People who are not involved in the same business or industry oftentimes don't understand. They don't understand. And it makes it difficult for them to support because they don't really understand what it is that you're doing. They're like, well, I don't know how to support him because I don't know what he does, you know, and I like to always ask that because, you know, people may hear this now or they may hear it later. And, you know, it's important that we let people know how we, you know, how we feel. And man, this is your passion right here. This is it for you. This is your passion. This is something you want to go a long way with. Are there other business ventures that you want to tap into at some point in time?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I was looking at a couple of like, getting off into the like clothing line area, but it's like a touchy situation, but with cannabis for sure, definitely too. I was looking into that business because I got Crohn's disease, so so it's a lot of stuff that goes on with that. But, I'm actually kind of in it, but I just don't have the money to really do what I need to do with that, so
let me ask you this adventure. How did you find out that, like, if you don't mind me asking, how did you find out that you had Crohn's disease? Was just some symptoms that you were having?
Oh, yeah. I was about in, I think, eighth grade. I was in middle school.
Oh, it was.
Just had stomach hurting. It was hurting me for a while. I was telling my mom about it. I couldn't really eat cheese, lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
But she really didn't know either, but we knew something was wrong. And then one day at school, I couldn't walk. Had to like wheel me to where she came and got me, and I'm maybe just thinking like, it's my appendix or something
right.
like that, and they kept it overnight, you know. And they like, oh yeah, we got Crohn's disease, so I'm crying, tripping. I'm thinking, I never heard of that.
Right.
But, you know, I'm thinking I'm gonna die. So you know, they're like, oh, you can live a long time with it. Just you got, you know,
change your diet really.
You can't do,
yeah,
pretty much. You know, you got to change your diet a lot. Mm. And it was a scary situation because I had to get my, a couple years, I had to get the IV in my arm, get my medicine like that, get my infusion. So, because it kind of like stunted my growth a lot growing up.
It's a lot, you know, and I appreciate you being so transparent, because the thing is, there's people walking around every day who have, you know, either some type of health ailment or something, and people like yourself who are such a go-getter that you don't allow that to stop you. And the world doesn't know that, you know, and I like to dive in and talk about that kind of stuff just because people don't understand what I just recently found out. That's why I was asking. I recently found out that I have diverticulosis and also gastritis, which is inflammation in the digestive system, because I was having stomach pains and nauseousness. And I'm like, what is going on? And, you know, it's a lot to deal with. Yeah. You know, it's like a lifestyle change that we have to make. Absolutely. And you've been dealing with it since a young age.
Yeah, for almost pretty much all my life, now that I can pretty much remember. And that's around the same thing with Crohn's, you know, like the stomach, where you get a lot of inflammation. And it was real hard to deal with, you know, as a young kid. But as I got older, medicine kicked in a little bit. And I ended up having surgery, too, in 2017. And they removed part of my lower intestine and stuff. My appendix.
I salute you for like literally not allowing that or anything else hold you back, because oftentimes people will find every excuse in the book why stuff doesn't work out for them rather than taking accountability and pushing through it and working through it. That's what you've done. Man, that should make you super proud, because you are like, you know what I'm saying? There's people out here walking around with nothing wrong with them and they still make excuses.
I try to do that. I mean, because I'd be having so many unfortunate shit. I'd be like, man, I got bad luck. I'd be so frustrated, but I'd be like, man, sort of moping around, whining around, crying about it. Just, you know, just put my head down, be a dog about it, and just try to make the best outcome I can, you know. Everything my pops always told me that, too, you know. Have faith, you know, that everything ain't going to always work out, but, you know what I'm saying, just stay positive and send love out. You're going to always receive it, so.
Shout out to your pops. Shout out to your pops for instilling that in
you. Long live pops.
Yeah, long live pops, man. And everything that he instilled in you is going to be with you until it's your time to transition and join him, you know? So just keep living his legacy for him. And that's absolutely what you're doing. He's proud of you. He's listening right now, cheering you on. You know, he's excited for you. I'm just getting to know you, and I'm proud of you because you've persevered and pushed through, you know, different things in your life, and here you are doing what you love doing. That's a flex right there. That is a flex that you can do what you know what I'm saying? Like, not everybody has that luxury. That's a beautiful thing right there. I love it.
Yeah, it is.
Pop your ish.
It's kind of like a bittersweet, like you said, like, because I'm finally starting to get, you know, videos, like the Checkmate video going crazy on YouTube. I'm getting DMs every day, people just talking, people sending me beats, people trying to do business, trying to find out the ones that's real or not.
Yeah.
And it's just good to just start, like, finally, you know, for what I've been doing and working so hard for, you can start seeing this, getting a little bit of recognition, and it definitely feels good.
Yeah, absolutely. All the hard work is paying off, and it takes time. You know, again, going back to, everybody's journey is different. Some people, it might only take them a year. Someone else, it might take them 10 years, and that's okay. That is okay.
Yeah.
It's your
journey. I've been in it almost 10 years. I've been chopping almost 10 years. You know, on YouTube. So it's like, you know, you could go back and really see the grind. Like, anybody who's going to tap in and go see, I got so much type of music out there, so they see, you know, you just be like, man, you can't say he ain't been crying. They're like,
facts.
I've been doing.
Is the YouTube channel listed under Trippy Gusto so they can go and check out all of your work that's been put out over the last decade?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You just type in Trippy Gusto. I mean, I got a couple videos from other, you know, like YouTube channel, but like, if you type in Trippy Gusto on YouTube,
everything's going to pop up. Definitely. Well, I'm going to go check you out.
Be able to see
you. I'm going to go back.
I got Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm going to go check out the 10 years ago Trippy Gusto.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I got some stuff on it. I'll be like, what? But it's just, you know, it's good to see the evolution and just how far I can with the music and just the imagination, just creativity with everything. I'll be like, man, I'm on my way.
Makes you feel good. Definitely. That's what you have to do, is just go back and take a look every now and again and be like, man, I've really come a long way. Let me go ahead and pat myself on the back. I love it. So tell
you
us.
You got to do that sometimes.
We do. We do. Absolutely. Because if we don't believe in ourselves, we can't expect anybody else to. And that's just facts. That is
facts. And that's what I had to start telling myself.
Yeah. Absolutely. So let's talk about this record. It's in rotation with us here at the Hype. It's called Checkmate, produced by Grand Trapids.
Yep.
I like that name, Grand Trapids. That's hard.
Shout out that boy, Grand Trapids, man. He's going crazy. Anybody, any artist in the city, you know, look him up on Instagram. Grand Trapids will pop up.
That's one of the dopest producer names I've ever heard in my life. I love it.
Yeah, you know, we went crazy on that record, man. You know, so that's what that man, he doing his thing in the city, you know.
Definitely.
We just trying to go up.
Definitely. And you will, most definitely, because you have I could tell you have a very humble spirit. And you're very passionate about it. And that's a great combination. When you have a humble spirit and you're passionate about it, there's no other way but going up. That's it. There's no other way.
Yeah, that's what I try to strive for. Just, hey, man, consistency beats the talent. You know, you can have a talent, or you can be like, oh, I'm the best in the city or whatever you want to claim, and just get, you know, complacent of what you're doing. But I just always try different sounds. I always try to, like, challenge myself to make different music. And it was hard for a minute because, you know, we coming off, we talking about stuff that we see and we do.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just about knowing who you is and just tapping in to the music. Because a lot of these, and that's why I feel like a lot of people misunderstand me with the music, because everybody want to be rappers nowadays, you know? Like, everybody want to be rappers. Everybody want to, I feel like it's just a popularity contest. Like, people don't really love it.
I agree.
Like I said, they don't like to go right. They don't like when the camera's off, when nobody's around. You just go listen to the beat just for hours, though.
Yeah, 100%. It's about the clout. That's all it is for them. It's not a passion. They're just doing it to get attention. Facts, man. Well, like,
that's the thing that's been killing me, so.
Listen, you keep doing you. You keep being 100%, 110% Troopy Gusto, and you will, we're manifesting it, you will rise up, most definitely. I'm excited for your journey. Again, when you come out here to ATL, let me know. We'll try to line some stuff up for you to make it make sense for you to come all the way out here, you know, have maybe some interviews or performance or something lined up for you, because there's always stuff going on in the city. But we're going to get into this record and check it out. Before we do, anybody that wants to follow you, where can they keep up with you on your social media?
Oh, yeah. They can follow me on Instagram at TheReal_Trippy_G070. That's on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter at Trippy_Gusto. And yeah, everything else is just Trippy Gusto. You know, I got I'm on Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora. I'm everywhere. So you can catch me if you want, wherever you listen to your music.
Definitely. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking some time tonight. One more thing before we get to the record. Is there anybody you want to give a shout out to?
Oh, yeah. I want to say, man, shout out to my hometown, 616 Michigan, man. Shout out to the whole Michigan. My family, you know, my moms, you know, all my friends, my kids, baby moms, everybody, man. Shout out everybody. Shout out ATL for having me on here. Shout out y'all, you know, man. The Hype 87.3, man. Sending out love to everybody, you know, boy Trippy Gusto.
Appreciate you for real, for real. Well, we're about to get into this record. I know it's highly anticipated. Go ahead and give us the official introduction.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's your boy Trippy Gusto, man. My new single, Checkmate. Hope y'all like it, man.
Let's go. It's your girl, Tampa Mystic. We live.
Let's get it.
Let's go.
Come and see what all the hype is about. Tune in to The Hype 87.3.
I heard heard polices, they been trying to let my people up. Good niggas, they just couldn't get them switches up. I told my baby mama, pray for me, don't wait on me. With all this money I've been making, you can take a piece. I'ma still look out, even though you didn't believe. I was low as fuck, I pour a folk, now I'm in a tree. Seat her at a party, that's your bitch, why she on the knees? Nigga talking gangster, when we know his ass was coming, please. That's your bitch, ayy, was she the homie bitch? Seat her up on Twitter, she was twerking on the floor and shit. Brody sent her damn, now her nigga acting tender dick. Talking boy, what he gonna do, man, you really wanna get into this? How you finna go to war? You ain't even fully equipped. I know you heard my circle small, but everybody carry blicks. Been in the field for a while, a nigga, I ain't new to this. Don't let me catch you lacking on a date on some groupie shit. Pull up to the function too, stepping with my Glock, ayy. I ain't tryna start no shit, but a nigga can get shot, ayy. Killers pop up out the cuss with them red dots, ayy. She just wanna fuck up on a nigga cause he hot, ayy. I ain't tryna fuck up on that bitch because I'm busy. I'd rather be on a block catching plays, getting jiggy. And if you ain't heard of Trippy, these niggas ain't fucking with me. It's been like 10 years and they still could kill me. I ain't tryna glorize this shit because it's ignorant. I'm just tryna make this money, stack it for my children. Came a long way from tone, still doing drills. When you was in the house, nigga, I was in the field. I heard polices, they been tryna let my people up. Good niggas, they just couldn't get them switches up. I told my baby mama, pray for me, don't wait on me. With all this money I've been making, you can take a piece. I'ma still look out, even though you didn't believe. I was low as fuck, I pour a folk, now I'm in the trees. See her at a party, that's your bitch, why she on the knees? Nigga talking gangster, when we know his ass was coming, please. Yeah, your ass was coming, please, nigga.